Welcome to the podcast. Today I want to discuss a rather controversial topic of the role exercise plays in losing weight. Now, believe it or not, one of the greatest myths ever perpetuated on millions of people has been the belief that you can actually exercise to lose weight. And yes, you heard me correctly. Ever since the fitness boom of the late 1970s, the fitness industry has essentially indoctrinated us with the belief that we can actually burn calories and therefore lose weight provided we hit the gym. But this is just a theory, and believe it or not, the theory was actually disproven a long time ago. But this is a little secret the fitness industry doesn't want you to know. Now, I expect a few of you will be pretty skeptical about what I've just suggested, that exercising to lose weight is a waste of time. So let's unpick this concept in order to highlight its flaws, and in doing so, we need to take a sizable step backwards and look at the big picture. If exercising was truly an effective and sustainable way of losing weight, then why have we seen an explosion in rates of obesity since the 1970s? Think about it. Millions of people exercise on a daily basis, and thousands of gyms are full of people pounding the treadmill, yet despite this concerted effort by people to exercise, we just keep getting fatter. Remember the definition of stupidity? Doing the same thing over and over and but expecting a different result? Well, it seems we just keep lacing on the runners and squeezing into our Lycra outfits, hoping that it will finally work. Now, those of you who firmly believe in the whole exercise to lose weight theory often throw up a whole range of excuses as to why we have seen an explosion in obesity over the past 30 to 40 years. And apparently we're getting lazier, or we have more labour-saving devices, or we have less time to exercise. In reality, none of these are true when you consider that the modern form of human has existed for about 200,000 years, and apparently, in just the last 30 to 40 years, we've suddenly and dramatically changed our behaviour en masse. Yeah, I'm not so sure. So why doesn't exercise work when trying to lose weight? Well, whenever I discuss this topic, there's always lots of people who say, well, that's not true. I started exercising and a couple of months later, I lost about 2 or 3 kilos. And yes, that is undeniable. Take a human, expose them to some form of additional exercise that's over and above their normal habitual level of physical activity, and you'll notice that you will lose a few kilos. But everyone who has trod this path, and maybe this is you, will also tell you that when you stop exercising, it doesn't take long for the 2 to 3 kilos to return. So the issue we're talking about here is sustainability. Over time, exercising to lose weight doesn't work. I'm going to use 2 ways to prove the theory wrong. Let me use a common sense sort of answer first before I then get a little bit technical. All right, I want you to imagine that you've been invited to a dinner party, and this is no ordinary dinner party. This is the event of a lifetime. No expense has been spared to fly in the best chefs from around the world and the best produce to ensure the most lavish buffet you've ever seen. Every conceivable dish will be there at this dinner party, and you can't wait. So I've got a question for you. What would you do on the day of the dinner party? I know what I'd do. I'd probably have a relatively light breakfast. I'd probably skip lunch. I might even squeeze in a little workout in the afternoon, and I might even see if I can actually walk to the dinner party to make sure that I arrived as hungry as possible. So why is it then that the 2 things we ask overweight and obese people to do, such as eat less and exercise, are the same 2 things we would do to ensure we are actually hungry? Think about it. Try reducing what you eat and exercising more and see whether you can hold out against the hunger. Now, you might do it for a day or two, you may even do it for a few weeks, but unless you've got the mental discipline of a Tibetan monk, you simply can't sustain that approach. Yet that is what millions of people have been fooled into thinking, courtesy of the fitness industry. Reduce your calories and exercise more. What a miserable and ultimately guilt-ridden existence. And guess what? If that theory of exercising to lose weight worked, then why are we simply getting fatter and fatter around the globe? But you're probably thinking, hang on, you still haven't explained why exercising to lose weight doesn't work. Well, We've all blindly accepted over the past few decades that the theory that burning more energy via exercise while reducing the amount of energy you eat via reducing portion sizes and counting calories will lead to weight loss. It's called the energy balance theory, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with it, and you've probably actually been doing it on and off for years. Seems simple enough, doesn't it? And that's exactly why millions of people have accepted the theory, because it seems to make sense. And guess what? Our brains are like things that seem to make sense. It's what we call a cause and effect relationship. We've come to believe that eating more and exercising less is the cause and weight gain is the effect. But what if the equation, that being energy in being greater than the energy out, which equals weight gain, what if that equation was actually the wrong way around? What if I said, let's put weight gain at the start of the equation? The equation would now read, weight gain causes excess energy consumption, which equals less energy expenditure. Or in more plain speak, being overweight causes you to eat more and exercise less. Okay, if you're a little unsure about what I have just said, let me use another example to make my point. If I asked you why a child increases in height and weight between the ages of 5 and 10, surely you would mutter something about hormones, more specifically something to do with growth hormone. You wouldn't claim that the child has increased in height and weight during their childhood because they ate more than they exercised, and all those excess calories were supposedly used for growth. Most 5 to 10 year old kids don't stop moving, so I can assure you there's probably days where the child is probably in energy deficit. That is, they've actually burnt more energy than they've consumed. So the energy balance theory doesn't actually make sense. But here's what we do. When the child eventually reaches young adulthood, they will cease growing in height. But if they keep putting on weight, we suddenly let go of our understanding that changes in height and weight are driven by hormones, and we claim that their weight is due to them eating more and exercising less. So we go from a perfectly rational understanding that growth is driven by our hormones to suddenly believing that excess weight gain in adulthood is actually due to poor behavior. What a shameful way to blame someone for something that's not actually driven by behavior, but rather a hormonal response to what we're eating. So, ladies and gentlemen, weight gain is actually driven by hormones, and the main hormone that drives the process is called insulin. Insulin is produced by the pancreas, and its job is to take sugar, otherwise known as glucose, from our bloodstream to be either used as energy or stored on the body for later use. Now, the amount of insulin released is proportional to the type of food that we eat. So if you've just polished off a pizza and a few beers on a Friday night, your poor old pancreas gets to work by releasing a lot of insulin in the hope that it can reduce your blood glucose level. Now, I'm going to cover the metabolic explanation of how insulin works in another podcast, because it actually deserves its own explanation. But in very, very simple terms, if you're eating lots of carbs all the time, then our bodies look around for a place to store all that excess energy. And here's the bad news. Our liver and muscles can only store so much energy in the form of glycogen, which is just a fancy name for stored glucose. So where does all the excess energy go? Well, as you well know, we have these abundant warehouses around the body called fat cells, and they gladly and willingly accept our excess energy in the form of fat. Oh, and here's the depressing bit. After our high carbohydrate meal, where insulin has worked hard to reduce our blood glucose, we usually start to feel hungry about 2 to 3 hours later. And what type of food does our brain demand? Yes, you guessed it, it's carbohydrates. So let's pull all this together a little bit so you don't get a headache. We have been taught to believe that if the amount of energy we eat is greater than the amount of energy we burn, then we'll store all those excess energy in the form of fat. But the equation is too simplistic, and it's ultimately flawed because it ignores the fact that weight gain is driven by hormones, specifically insulin. If we have a high carbohydrate diet, then we will invariably start to gain weight. And that weight gain will cause us to eat more carbohydrates. And as a result of excess weight gain, we will be less inclined to exercise. So, Step away from the treadmill if your reason for exercising is to lose weight. Exercise for a whole host of other reasons. Maybe because you enjoy it. Maybe it's a social activity you enjoy with your friends. Maybe staring at the black line at the bottom of the pool as you block out the world most mornings is actually good for your mental health. But don't torture yourself with exercise in the hope that you'll supposedly burn enough calories to reduce your weight. And if you're still not convinced, then do the simple maths. A meat pie and a 600ml bottle of Coke contains around 2,700 kilojoules of energy, or 650 calories if you want to use the US unit of measurement. So what I hear you say? Well, now hop on the treadmill for the next 7.5 hours, because that's how long it's going to take to burn off 2,700 kilojoules. It's utterly unsustainable. Remove the carbs and stop feeling controlled by food. For more information on how to adopt a low-carb lifestyle, go to lowcarbcoach.com.au. Thanks for listening.